Well, if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Daniel chapter 10. If you don't, you can just listen along as we read God's Word. We have been the last couple of weeks looking at the ministry of Gabriel in the New Testament, thinking about the incarnation of our Lord, the birth of Jesus. And Gabriel, of course, had ministered in Daniel chapter 9, as we saw about a month ago. We now see further angelic ministry to Daniel here in chapter 10. But Daniel has had some of his big picture questions answered by the angel Gabriel, who gave him a word for understanding, so that he'd be able to understand what it was that the Lord was going to do in restoring the city of Jerusalem, eventually bringing the Savior, the Prince who was going to come, and gave him, again, sort of this big picture, overarching kind of vision. Daniel, however, as we'll see in this passage, was still very curious about what things might be coming in the intermediate period. Not necessarily the long-term future, but what about these things he's heard about? So he'd heard that the Babylonians were going to be destroyed, and they were, that the Medes and Persians would be overtaken by the Greeks, and then that there would be a fourth kingdom after the Greeks as well. And so Daniel seems to be curious about these things. It's also good for you to know, as we read this here, that this happens in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. So Daniel, at this point, is a very old man, perhaps 80 years old. And you'll remember, if you think about the book of Ezra, that Cyrus had decreed that God's people should go back from Babylon to Jerusalem to begin to rebuild the city. Now, again, if you're familiar with those first four chapters of the book of Ezra, you will know and remember that things weren't really going very well in the rebuilding of the temple and of the city. There were all of these opponents that had come up against Ezra. They're pulling all sorts of bureaucratic tricks and pulling out all the red tape to try to stop the work in Jerusalem. Now, Daniel's call as an old man was to stay there in Babylon and to continue in prayer. So he's praying, but he's also, no doubt, getting these reports back because the appeals were being made to the king to stop the work. He's getting these reports back from Jerusalem that things aren't going the way that he would have hoped. The progress wasn't just smooth sailing at the end of the 70 years of captivity. And this was troubling to Daniel. And so we're going to see something of his trouble here in the first few verses as he's fasting and praying. But this is a very emotional and sensory sort of passage. So children, if you're drawing pictures of the things we're about to see, one of the things you might do is look for the five senses being fairly vividly represented in this passage, with the exception perhaps of the sense of smell. But we've got taste or lack of taste in this passage, smell or lack of smell in this passage. There's feeling, there is a hearing, and there is seeing, and it's all quite vivid. And the whole import of the passage is supposed to have quite an impact upon us as we read it. So look for those things as you consider the Lord's ministry here in the life of Daniel. Before we read, we're going to pray and ask God's blessing on our time. Lord, Daniel sought to know and to understand. He needed a word from you. And he was praying, Lord, pouring out his heart. Lord, we would come to you in prayer today as well, because we need understanding for life and for godliness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you promised that you will give it. So we pray that you would not only allow words to be heard as they're read from a page, but we pray, O God, that your Spirit would descend upon each and every person here to open our hearts so that we might know and believe your eternal truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is God's Word, Daniel chapter 10. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belteshazzar. And the word was true, and it was a great conflict. And he understood the word and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His face, his body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell upon them. And they fled to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, and no strength was left in me. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed, and I retained no strength. Then I heard the sound of his words, and as I heard the sound of his words, I fell on my face in deep sleep, with my face to the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, and set me trembling upon my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright. For now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I was left there with the kings of Persia, and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision is for days yet to come. When he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground and was mute. And behold, one in the likeness of the children of man touched my lips. Then he opened my mouth and spoke. And then I opened my mouth and spoke. I said to him who stood before me, O my Lord, by reason of the vision, pains have come upon me, and I retain no strength. How can my Lord's servant talk with my Lord? For now no strength remains in me, and no breath is left in me. Again, one having the appearance of a man touched me and strengthened me, and he said, O man greatly loved, fear not, peace be with you, be strong and of good courage. And as he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, Do you know why I have come to you? But now I will return to fight against the prince of Persia, and when I go out, behold, the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. There is none who contends by my side against these except Michael, your prince. Thus ends this reading of God's holy word, which we pray he would write on our hearts today and forever. I have had more than one person in the last couple of weeks and months come up to me and say, I just can't wait along with everyone else until we get to December 31st and we can turn the page on that calendar and be done with 2020 and on to 2021. This sense that is so pervasive in our culture that 2020 has been maybe one of the hardest and perhaps worst years of people's lives, and has been the most destructive economically and in terms of public health that we've seen in a while. And so we would be better off when we can turn the calendar and move into a new year. People in this sense are not necessarily thinking about the ultimate picture, the long range of history, but they're thinking about something more intermediate. And Daniel had an experience here, as we will see in this passage, that might communicate to us, if we're to put it in our modern day language, something like this. The Lord is on the throne, and the future is eternally secure in his hands. But as we think about things in the intermediate, brace yourselves, dear friends, because 2021 may just be worse than 2020. That really is something of the message that's given here to Daniel, obviously not with those numbers, but here he is with all of this expectation that 70 years of captivity is going to come to an end. Jerusalem's going to be rebuilt. Things are going to be restored for the people of God, and they're going to be a whole lot better. And indeed, the Lord on his throne has communicated through this whole book that he rules over all things, and that we are secure in his hands. Daniel learns here, as he had already learned time and again, that what is coming for us in the near future may not be very pretty. it may in fact be very hard circumstantially. And yet what is communicated in the midst of that in this passage is that the Lord will be with his people, such that the ultimate calling for Daniel in this passage and for you and for me is to trust in the Lord. And then if you would look with me at verse 19, where the angel speaks and verse 18, he says, "O man greatly loved, fear not, peace be with you, be strong and of good courage." Your circumstances may be worse in the coming year as we turn the new year than they were in the last year, believe it or not. You may suffer great hardship. And yet, the calling upon the people of God, because we know the one who is on the throne, is to be strong and of good courage today because of his love for us. So let's take a look at this passage in two basic ways. I appreciate Sandy Wilson and his breakdown of the passage here. The first nine verses really show us our great need. And then verses 10 through the end of the chapter show us God's strength. We are weak, but he is strong. That's the essence of the outline of the passage here. And as we see our weakness and Daniel's weakness and terror in the first nine verses, it's quite vivid. We've given you some of the historical background here already, and notice what Daniel is doing. He is praying. He's mourning for 3 weeks, we're told, when he receives this vision. That's in verse 2. Notice here that he's eating no delicacies, no wine, no meat or wine entered his mouth. Children, there's your first sense, right? What is he tasting? He's tasting nothing, at least nothing of substance. He didn't anoint himself at all, and presuming that there must have been some sort of scent to his aftershave, we can presume he's smelling nothing here at this point. He's depriving himself because he's burdened for the people of God, for the city of Jerusalem, because the calendar did get turned after the 70 years. And they've gone back to Jerusalem, and now they have all of these opponents who are simply trying to break their faith, to end their work, and to bring them to nothing. So Daniel receives this vision, and if you look back at the end of verse 1, he says that the word was true, and it was a great conflict that he saw or that he heard. It was a word, another way we might put it, is a word of hard service. In other words, things will be difficult for you going forward. Life will not be a bowl of cherries for Daniel, and it won't be for us either. So here he is. He's the servant of the Lord who's bringing the word of God, and he brings this word of God to us, and it is fitting for us to stop and to consider and to give thanks for the great price that the servants of the Lord have paid simply to bring us God's word. It was emotional anguish and physical trial through which Daniel went here so that we might have this word. You can think perhaps of the story of John Bradley, and I know some of you have heard this story before. He was at Iwo Jima. He was one of the Marines who helped raise the flag there in that iconic photo. And he served in a medical capacity, and he saw more than his fair share of the gore and the blood and the guts of war. And when he returned home, he spoke with his wife for something like less than 10 minutes when they were on their first date, actually, before they were married, about some of his experiences. And then she never heard another single word from him about the things that he had seen and heard on the battlefield. But she told their son years later, after he had died, that though he never spoke another word, he sobbed in his sleep for the first 4 years of their marriage every night because of the anguish that had overcome him in the service that he had rendered for our nation. That's a little bit of what Daniel was experiencing here in this particular vision, feeling the burden for his people and realizing that he had no strength. As one application here, you can pray for your elders who often bear this same kind of burden as they seek to shepherd the flock. I spoke recently with another elder friend in another congregation, and he was bearing some of these kinds of burdens in their congregation and going to bed with great groanings on his heart. And his wife said to him, not flippantly, but said, well, this is what you signed up for when you became an elder. And he said, I stopped. I said, no. No one told me about all of these kinds of things that I would be dealing with. I did not sign up for this. He recognized it was his calling to bear these things, but he couldn't have even known what he was signing up for. So pray for those who engage in this kind of leadership and service on your behalf, and the way in which the Lord demonstrates his love through them for you will be seen the more richly as you uphold them in prayer. Well, we see Daniel, who is a mourning. He's realizing he has no strength. And in the midst of all this, what happens to him that further causes him to see that he has no strength? Well, he lifts up his eyes in verse 5. Let me just actually pause, back up, make one more note here on verse 4. The calendar, if you are familiar with the Old Testament calendar, will cause you to reveal as well. That will reveal to you as well that Daniel is going through all of this during the time of the Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, a time that should have been a time of joy and of celebration in many respects over the forgiveness of sins that the people of God had here. He is burdened for the things that are going on. And then moving on to verse 5, a further burden comes when he lifts up his eyes. And here we see the sense of sight. He sees a man clothed in linen with a belt of fine gold. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. What an incredible sight that his eyes are open to see. And if you're familiar with the description of Jesus in Revelation chapter 1, it causes you to question, is this perhaps a pre-incarnate picturing of Jesus? I think it's probably not, in light of the fact that later on in the passage he says he was helped by the angel Michael. It's probably more akin to the other very similar description, that being of the messenger of Ezekiel chapter 1. You can just write that down in your Bible and go check out and compare and contrast those other passages, Revelation 1 and Ezekiel, rather, chapter 1. And you'll see that this messenger of God comes with great might. It's an awe-inspiring sight. And the people who were with Daniel, they run, they flee away. It's almost somewhat similar to the conversion of the apostle Paul, as recorded in Acts chapter 9. But look at the response of Daniel here. He is left alone in verse 8, and he saw this great vision, and no strength was left in me, he says. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed. And then a second time, I retained no strength. Then he falls on his face to the ground. How is it that we're made to feel very weak and inadequate? Well, one is to see the great needs of God's people and of we ourselves, and to recognize we have no ability to meet those needs. The other thing that will leave you sapped of all strength is when you see the glory of God. We see this kind of response with Moses when he meets God in the burning bush. We see something like this with Isaiah when he sees the Lord high and lifted up on the throne. We see it here in Daniel. We see it with the disciples at the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus' glory is displayed for them. We see it with the Apostle Paul when he meets Jesus on the road to Damascus. We see it with the Apostle John in Revelation chapter 1. When people meet the Lord God, they fall down on their faces in worship. And this is quite a different depiction of the glory of God through his messenger, the angel, here than we often see in our culture, which treats God as a sort of a jolly figure in the sky. He's someone that people will sometimes begin to sort of lightly describe coming and talking to them. I enjoy John MacArthur's story of a man who used to come to him and say, you know, God talks to me when I shave, and God appears right there, and he tells me whatever he wants to tell me. And John MacArthur's response was, well, do you stop shaving? Anyone who sees the glory of God and has the Lord speaking to them in this kind of way not only stops what they're doing, in almost every case they buckle at the knees and end up flat on their faces. This is the God who revealed himself to Daniel. And when a person like Daniel sees God and comes face to face with him, that they are forever changed. And we may not see God in this same way or see His messengers in the same way, but by the power of His Holy Spirit, He does bring us to our knees as well. Because when we see His glory, we recognize that we are impure, we are unrighteous, and we are unqualified to stand before Him. And we also understand that He is worthy of all praise, adoration, and honor, and we don't even have the strength to give Him that. The most exhausted I've ever been in my entire life has been when I had COVID a few weeks ago, and it just felt like for a week, strength was just being sucked out of my body until I could do almost nothing. Here, for Daniel, he experiences this in a moment, and he says so two times. And so in all of this, we see his weakness, and we see our weakness if we really understand who God is, and our inability to overcome our sin. And that ought to frighten us in one sense. Because we are about to turn the page to a new year. And we don't know what is coming. We'd like to think things will be better. A vaccine will come and be broadly effective. And we'll sort of be back to normal. And we'll be well on our way in life. You may have personal aspirations. You're anticipating things going well. Maybe by God's grace they will. But maybe they won't. And maybe you'll face some of the greatest disappointments you could have ever imagined, like Daniel was facing when he looked at what was happening to the people of God back in Jerusalem. And he was trying to understand, Lord, what are you doing? And up to this point, all he really understands is that he's got nothing. In response, only weakness and frail knees. So he falls on his face before the Lord. But praise God, the story doesn't end there, and the Lord will not leave us in a place of hopeless circumstances in the coming year. What does the Lord do for our brother Daniel? Well, look at verse 10. We see that the Lord comes, He answers, and He gives strength to Daniel, and He gives strength to us. How is it that the Lord helps him? How is it that He meets him? I'm going to give you six ways here that the Lord meets Daniel. These are six ways in which the Lord helps us as well. We see here, first of all, that the Lord, through His servant the angel, touches Daniel. He touches His people. Not only does the angel touch Daniel here, but again, you think of what happened with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration when His disciples were wiped out before Him. What does Jesus do? He puts His hand upon His disciples and He tells them, "Fear not." Now, we may not experience that physical hand coming from the throne, but we know that God has come in the flesh through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has touched lepers and healed them of their disease and taken their disease of sin upon Himself. And so He has done for us. The Lord has come to us. We have Emmanuel, God with us. Well, Daniel was strengthened here by the way in which the Lord condescended to him. Secondly, we see that He loved Daniel and He loves us. Look at verse 11. He is assured with these words, "O man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you." Daniel, as we've seen in previous passages, is greatly loved. And the word here is a word for a preciousness, as something greatly cherished. One Old Testament commentator observes that this word for loved is an unusual word, and it's a noun form of the verb that we find in the 10th commandment, the word to covet. The Lord covets, He cherishes, He desires, He longs for Daniel. Daniel may have longed to know God, but more than that, God longed to know Daniel. We love because He first loved us. And we see the love of our Savior in those words in Luke chapter 26 when He is celebrating the Lord's Supper with His disciples. And He says, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you." As much as you, beloved, by the power of God, might love your God and long to be with Him, the great encouragement that everyone who is in the Lord Jesus Christ and who has believed in His finished work should take home today is that your Savior loves you far more than you could ever dream of loving Him. You are loved in the Lord Jesus Christ. So how does He help us? He touches us. He loves us. Then thirdly, we see that He raises us. It's quite fascinating that Daniel here has fallen down on his face. And we see in verse 10, this hand touches him and He brings him up on his hands and knees. He's sort of partway up. He's been given enough strength to come that far. Then he's assured of His love. And then he is told to stand upright. And he's able to stand upright because of this word that is given to him. The Lord raises us. He has made promises to us as His people that He is going to raise us up. He's going to make us fit for service in His kingdom as He would bring His word to us. This angel was sent to help, and He raises Daniel upright. And then the fourth thing that He does to help is He informs us, just as He informed Daniel, about the spiritual realities of this world and beyond. You see this in verses 13 and 14. He says, three, He raises us. Fourth, He hears us. He hears us when we pray. Look at this in verse 12. He says to me, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words." The Lord strengthens His people by hearing our prayers. Sometimes we're left, and that's all we can do, is utter our weak prayers to the Lord. But what does the Lord promise us here? He promises us that our prayers ascend to heaven, however weak they may be. And if you have called on the name of the Lord even today, you can know that your prayers have been heard in heaven. We're going to see here in a moment that this actually mobilized the spiritual forces of God. This moved the angel out of the battlefield to come and to answer Daniel. Now, there are many things that we don't know and understand about the spiritual realm because the Lord hasn't been pleased to tell us. But He does teach us this, that it is through our prayers that the angels actually move. And they are redeployed. Consider the power of your God and the way in which He uses your prayers. Brothers and sisters, this ought to motivate you as you look at a forecast and a horizon that may be very bleak sometimes, to know that you have this most powerful weapon at your disposal, even in the lowest points of weaknesses that you experience. The Lord hears your prayers, and heaven itself is mobilized because of the words uttered by God's people. Well, we do see then that this angel comes and he informs us about spiritual realities. This is a fifth way in which the Lord helps. This is verses 13 and 14. He says in verse 12, in verse 13, that he was on his way, but he was delayed by 21 days. Why? Because the kingdom, the prince of the kingdom of Persia had fought against him. Clearly, this is an angelic being who is at work behind the kingdom of Persia that is seeking, through demonic influence, to tear down the people of God. He's at work even in the halls of power of Persia itself, to try to grant the requests of the people who would be standing against those building the temple and the city of Jerusalem. We often look at life circumstances and we think it's just a bad deal. It's a bad happenstance. But there are often things happening unseen to us. Demons are at work behind the false gods of this world, seeking to undermine the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. But what are we told here? That Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help this messenger, and he was left there, with the kings of Persia, and now he has come to understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days, for this vision is for the days still to come. Again, we don't learn a lot here, but what we do learn ought, on the one hand, not to overwhelm us with a sense that there are things that are just out of our control because we know the one who's on the throne. But on the other hand, we shouldn't too easily dismiss the battle that's going on in the heavenly places. In some ways, what's going on here on earth is simply child's play compared to what is going on in heaven itself. We saw this last year around Christmas time when we looked at Revelation chapter 12, the account of the incarnation there in the book of Revelation. And we see that when Jesus came to earth, he's born of a woman, he does his work, he ascends up into heaven. You remember who shows up next? It's the archangel Michael, who through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ then casts that great dragon Satan down to the earth. And that dragon is seeking to swallow up the people of God. It was true in Daniel's day. It's true in our day as well. And the tool that we have at our disposal is that of prayer that the Lord uses to strengthen his people amid the trials of this life. We see in the book of Revelation, for instance, that the Lord uses even diseases. You think about something like the coronavirus. The devil wants to use diseases to wipe out even the people of God. The diseases around us, even today, have demonic influence behind them, at least at various times and usually unknown to us. But we ought to understand that we're here not in a battle against flesh and blood. The Apostle Paul reminds us of this in Ephesians chapter 6. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Well, what's the result of all of this for Daniel before we see the sixth way in which the Lord strengthens him and helps him? He says in verse 15 that when he'd spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground and was mute. And behold, one in the likeness of the children of man touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, and I said, "Oh, my Lord, by reason of the vision, pains have come upon me, and I retain no strength." How can my Lord's servant talk with my Lord? For now no strength remains in me, and no breath is left in me. And then we see the sixth way in which the Lord helps his people. He says to him in verse 19, after touching him again, and he said to me, "O man greatly loved, fear not, peace be with you, be strong and of good courage." And as he spoke to me, I was strengthened. He says, be strong and of good courage. And when he speaks the word, what happens to Daniel? And what happens to us as we hear the word of the living God? Well, we are actually changed. We do actually gain spiritual fortitude as we listen to the word of God and as we believe it. He gives the command to be strong and courageous, and simply by hearing and believing and embracing that word, dear friends, you and I are strengthened. And we ought to ask today that the Lord would open our ears as we look forward to a future that is unknown, but a future that we know will have challenge and difficulty and vicissitudes. We need to pray that the Lord would give us grace, that we would be strong and of good courage. And the Lord sends his messengers. This is part of what goes on in the heavenly realms. All of his angels are ministering servants to us, as we see in Hebrews chapter 1. We're not allowed to say, "I'm just going to probably be attacked by the devil and I'll probably fall into sin." No. The Lord promises that he is going to strengthen us by his word and even through the ministry of angels. And the command here is that Daniel would be strong and of good courage. And the Apostle Paul picks up on the same theme in Ephesians chapter 6. I've read just a portion of it to you already, but turn there while keeping your finger in Daniel chapter 10. In Ephesians chapter 6, in the midst of recounting this spiritual battle that we're part of, what does the Lord tell us to do so that we might grow, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might? That's the command in Ephesians 6:10. Then in verse 11, he says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, so that he might be able to proclaim the gospel boldly. Here's your calling. You have not been left in this battle with nothing to fortify and to strengthen you. But the Lord gives you the full armor of God, just as he gave to Daniel. And so our calling then is to be strong in the Lord, to be strong and of good courage as we hear the word of God and we take it to heart and we actively look to put on all of that armor that the Lord gives to us as his people. And then the angel, back in Daniel chapter 10, says to Daniel, "Do you know why I've come to you? But now I will return to fight against the prince of Persia, and when I go out, behold, the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. There is none who contends by my side against these except Michael, your prince." Now he's going to, in chapter 11 and chapter 12, give a fuller vision of what goes on with the kingdom of Persia, with the kingdom of Greece, and so forth and so on. We'll look at that in a couple of weeks. What he's saying here is, look, from one generation to the next, there's going to be difficulty for the people of God. But what is it that we can know? We can know that we have a king who has triumphed over sin and death. Daniel had heard that prophecy before. We have now, brothers and sisters, seen it come to fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and who did battle against the evil one, who bore our sins in his body upon the cross, who saw them canceled out, who has made public display of all of those evil spirits, as the Apostle Paul reminds us in Colossians 2, and who has risen victoriously from the grave so that we might be strong and of good courage. And this is our hope for the coming year. Our hope is not that our circumstances are going to be a whole lot better than they were last year, because for at least some of you, and maybe all of you, they actually won't be. But one thing we know is that our Savior sits on the throne. He has defeated Satan himself. And we can know that we are greatly loved by him, and we are strengthened by him, by his word and spirit. So brothers and sisters, let us be strong and of good courage as we go forward into 2021, not because we hope in better circumstances, but because we hope in the Savior who is better than all of those circumstances. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have given us life in your Son. And we thank you that you give us, Lord, the ability to feel in this life. You give us the ability to feel our own weakness and to appreciate something of your own strength. And you cause us, Lord, in feeling and in seeing and in hearing, to be left with nothing to offer you in return. But we thank you, Lord, for this good news that you do strengthen, you comfort, you help your people. You show us your strength. And so we pray, Lord, that you would give grace to us as your people, that this year, by your word and spirit, we would feel your touch. We would know your love. We would be strengthened and be raised up by you, that you would hear our prayers, that you, Lord, would cause us to know the spiritual realities of the world around us, and that you would cause us to grow strong in the strength of your might. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who has given us your Son to be our Savior as this greatest source of strength. And we thank you now for sending your Spirit into the world so that we might experience that on a daily basis. So, Lord, cause us to cherish that union that we have with you. And cause us, Lord, to grow in your grace as we would fear not, but that we would become strong and of good courage. Let's we thank you for all of these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.